Father, we do thank you so much for your word, for the way that you have acted throughout history. Father, we pray that we would just be struck in our hearts and minds by the profound event of the resurrection, and that we would clearly see how that transforms us now and what it means for our very lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's great to have some of our young guys in church with us this morning as well. I love that community of all ages. I'm going to set the young guys a project at the end. In fact, I'm going to set all of us a project at the end, so stand by for that. I don't have the answer to it, but I want to throw it to you to take up the challenge. But before I begin, I want to just talk briefly about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You might be visiting us this morning and just checking things out, and you may be interested in knowing what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I want to just show with you a verse from Philippians. This is another letter the Apostle Paul wrote. This isn't everything to do with being a follower of Jesus, but this is definitely true. He writes this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." So what it means to be a follower of Jesus is to value others above yourself. Another way of putting that is to consider others better than yourself. So we just had that really majestic reading from Philippians 2, where it talks about how Jesus left heaven and he came to serve. He came to give his life. He came to die. Followers of Jesus are to do likewise. Value others above ourselves. Consider others better than ourselves. Well, you might be deciding now, that is too hard. That's way too hard. The cost of that is extreme. God is saying then that we should put other people's thoughts and feelings and plans and agendas above our own. Put their lives before, value them more highly than us. That's not actually how the world works. I was talking to a friend of mine who runs a business, and He said, "I used to be a nice guy, Matt, in my business, but things wouldn't get done. So this is what I realized. If there was a bit of a blockage, if something from a supplier was being stopped, I would just raise my voice and start swearing." He said, "That is the key to getting things done. I just put it before, this is very important. I'm on the phone swearing at you." And he said, like magic, it'll get fixed the next day. He said, that's the key. That's the secret to it. Not to value others more highly than yourself. Or let's make it personal a little bit. What about your reputation? Just think about how others see you. Experiences that you have in work or in your family. Think about your reputation. How does it feel when someone just lines you up? Misinformation. Just shoots you between the eyeballs. Just telling a story. That's not true, you know? Just breaking, damaging your reputation. You feel it, don't you? It burns. It really burns inside when you hear of that happening. When you're in a meeting or a conversation where that's going on, it burns you. You want to get them back. Not just defend yourself, but you want them to have a taste of their own medicine? This is so unfair. Except that's what everyone does. Whatever you believe, whether you're an atheist, that's what everyone wants to lash back. But followers of Jesus are not concerned about their own rights, worshipping themselves, their agenda, their lives. They worship the King. They worship Jesus. They follow Jesus, not themselves. And so, as followers of Jesus, we're to value others above ourselves. It still seems impossible. I mean, just think about it this week. Are you going to do it? With your boss, value your boss. With a client, maybe. With your dad. Sometimes families are the worst. With someone that you meet in the street, value others above yourselves. I want to give you a reason why, another reason why. Jesus' resurrection gives his followers eternal life. This is the big idea I just want to explore. We could spend 15 weeks on the resurrection of Jesus. But this is the big one I want us to look at. Jesus' resurrection gives his followers eternal life. And that's why we can value others more highly than ourselves. I want to just explore that for a little while. First, I just want to spend some time on Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is both true and material. It happened in history, in time and space, and it was physical and it was bodily. So as we take a look at our Bible reading from 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to just look at verses 3 and 4. I'm going to look at how Jesus' resurrection is true. It happened according to the scriptures, the promises that were made that Christ, the anointed one, would be resurrected. So Paul is passing on the good news of Jesus Christ to the church in Corinth. From verse 3, he says this: I received what I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Promises were made in the scriptures. Prophecy was made, and Jesus came and he fulfilled those. I just want to share with you one of these infographics. It seems a bit bizarre what's going on. The bottom sort of white lines are all the books of the Bible and how big they are. Those are all books of the Bible. And this is just a visual representation of how the Bible references itself. So you can see there's something in Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible, and it's that big yellow arc that's referenced in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And then all the others are just references, how the Bible is referencing. Within that are promises made about a Saviour, a suffering servant, someone who's going to be born of a virgin, who's going to be raised on the third day. Those references are there, and when Jesus comes, he fulfills those. He promises those according to the scriptures. It's a bold claim to make promises and write it down. If I'm going to get fit this summer. I'm going to get fit for summer. I'm telling you, I could start a blog, I could put it on Facebook, I have the before photos. In December, when you see me, my rock hard abs, it was speaking the truth. I boldly proclaimed it and wrote it down. If it was a lie, you'll see me in December, I'm just watching telly on the couch. You know? God made promises in his word. God would enter into his world and redeem it. And Jesus came and he fulfilled those promises that were written. The resurrection is true. But also, the resurrection is material. Okay? It's physical and tangible. Right? It says he appeared to all of these guys. So if we pick it up from verse 5 of Corinthians there, Jesus, resurrected Jesus, the Lord Jesus, appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. He physically and bodily appeared to all of those people, to all of those disciples, to the 12 of the close disciples, to 500 others at time. There were many, many witnesses that saw him walking around, that spoke with him, that ate with him, that drank with him. It's bodily and tangible and physical. The Bible never talks about a kind of resurrection where, oh, well, Jesus is alive because he's alive in our hearts. He was killed by the Romans. We really miss him. And he's alive still in our hearts. And it never talks about that as an idea. It never talks about the idea that Jesus kind of came back as a bit of a spirit and a bit of a ghost and he's floating around in heaven. After his resurrection, he spent 40 days eating and drinking and teaching with his disciples, with others. And in fact, Paul's writing to the Corinthians saying, if you were to go to Jerusalem, you could speak to some of those 500. Some of them are dead, they've fallen asleep, but most of them are still living. You can go and talk. What was it like to meet Jesus and talk with him and eat with him? You remember Thomas, one of the disciples, doubting Thomas. Jesus appeared to him and said, actually, touch me with your finger. So you can touch me. I'm physical. I'm material. I'm here. And it matters that it's physical because if he's just alive in our hearts, or the disciples said, he's just alive in our hearts. We didn't want him to die. Our sins haven't been forgiven. He didn't break sin and break death with his resurrection. We're still in our sins. We're still under judgment. If it's just wishful thinking, if it's just something we're hoping for. And it means that all we have as Christianity is a kind of a nice brand. where we can kind of gather together and say, oh, some good advice in the Bible, a bit of therapy for us. There's a bit of a model to follow. And then that's it. It's a brand that we have. But it's physical and tangible and it's real. And secondly, it's not a spirit escaping the world. He came back into the world. He was material and physical. You could touch him. You could eat with him. You could hear him teach. There's five or six groups of people here in 1 Corinthians where he appears and he appears and he appears to them. And finally, he appears to the Apostle Paul. He's resurrected physically, bodily. He's Lord over death. He's broken it, and you can touch him and see. Yes, they are freaked out by it, the disciples. They're filled with joy, but they are so totally scared. It is frightening to think about the resurrection. A couple of weeks ago, my grandma passed away, and my grandfather was telling me that after she breathed her last, he was able to say goodbye to her. You know, he just spent some time with her, just holding on to her, brushing her hair, saying goodbye. If she had come back from the dead, if she had sat up in that hospital bed and walked around, it would have been frightening. It would have been joyful, but frightening. She'd eaten some of that hospital food, you know. This is a full resurrection, you know. But Jesus is the only one who's come back from the dead. And yes, it's kind of frightening to think about it. Jesus has the keys over death. He's gone through the valley of the shadow. He's walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He's come back from the other side. He's broken sin and its judgment. He's broken death in half. The resurrection means this: the search is over. The day of decision is here. Come to Jesus or die forever. That's the option. It's come to Jesus and repent. We need to turn away from our sin where we're worshiping ourselves. We're following ourselves as the King. And we need to repent, turn and worship Jesus as King. Follow him as Lord and Savior. He's passed through death. He's come back. And he promises to bring us through. He promised us eternal life. When we die, we won't die forever. If you're a follower of Jesus, instead, we will have eternal life. An eternal life, describing them, is magnificent. It's material and physical, and it is magnificent. Eternal life is pictured as being the new heaven and the new earth. We have these new, healed, perfect bodies. We eat and we drink. The kingdom of heaven is described like a wedding feast. It's where God pours out his blessings on us. We feast with Jesus for eternity. It's like maybe for lunch today, you go up to Jonas, you know, and you order a beautiful meal and a bottle of wine. It's better than that. 1,000,000,000 times better than that. Eating and drinking, and even if you're with your best friends, with your best, it's better than that. We will be blessed beyond measure. Revelation 21 and 22, we looked at this at the beginning of the year. They talk about just how incredible it is, how magnificent, how many blessings we have, how intimate our relationship with God will be as we sit down with Jesus in paradise forever. That is the future that the resurrection brings. Eternal life is magnificent and it's material. We're not floating around in the clouds, you know, like Daffy Duck, you know, you've seen those cartoons and you think, is that heaven? No, it's real. And it's paradise. It's forever. We're eating and drinking and serving the Lord for a long, 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 long time. All we need to do is place our faith in Jesus. Trust him with our life. Jesus' resurrection, it's true. It's material. It's physical. It's bodily. A faith in Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, and the evidence that it is, gives us eternal life. If you're a follower of Jesus, it gives us eternal life. And eternal life is magnificent and you can smell it, you can taste it, you live within it. Jesus' resurrection gives his followers eternal life. This is the truth. So therefore, what does that mean for us now as we live? I want to encourage you to live boldly if you know that this is the truth. What do I mean by live bold? As we live now, before we die, or before Jesus returns, live boldly. I want to say two things. I want to say we can relax and we can fight. the big thing that we see as we look at the eternal life that we are given through the resurrection of Jesus is that we're not going to miss out on anything. We're going to have all these incredible blessings for eternity. It's not just a hope, that's an assurance that we have. We're not going to miss out on anything in this life. You know what drives us a lot? It's a fear. Fear of missing out or the fear of death. Resurrection blows those two things away. We will never miss out on anything. So many blessings poured out to us forever. So let me just encourage you to relax. You don't have to be driven by, you know, if I don't see the Eiffel Tower before I die, my life is not worth living. If I don't make this promotion, I've got to work 100 hours a week and get this promotion. This kind of frantic panic that we've got to fit everything. Travel and family, experience, work, money. Our reputation, I've got to build and protect my reputation because otherwise it's all I have in this life and otherwise I'll miss out. You won't. Let me encourage you to relax. Jesus' resurrection gives us eternal life. That's what's ahead of you as a follower of Christ. Earlier this week on a Tuesday, a friend came over with his two kids. And on Tuesday for about 2 or 3 hours, we hung out. And we just played with the kids and we drank coffee and we caught up. It was a great time. Now you're thinking, isn't Stu away? Isn't your boss on holidays? And you're spending 2 hours on a Tuesday morning playing with kids? Yes. Jesus' resurrection gives me eternal life. I don't have to build and protect my reputation. In fact, sometimes people call me and say, oh man, I know you're really busy, but I just want to ask a question. I'm sorry if I've given you that idea. I'm really busy. As ministers, what I want to do is talk with you on the phone or talk with you after church or meet with you or read the Bible or pray with you or something. I'm not really busy. I pretend to be really busy because it makes me look important because I think my reputation matters and it doesn't. It doesn't matter. I might miss out on certain things, you know, but well, I'm not actually going to miss out on anything. I've got this magnificent eternity where all the blessings of Christ are given to me. Just relax. Reputation is not important. It goes beyond that. We can give away our money. If we're going to receive all these blessings, why do we hold tightly onto money? We can give it away. We can let people impose on us, you know. We're not going to lose out. We can let them fight for their version of the story over our reputation. We can value others more highly than ourselves. We're not going to miss out or lose out in any way. We don't have any fear or regret. We don't have problems sacrificing to treat the other person better or to support someone or to love or just to relax and rest with somebody. We're not going to miss out. The second thing I want to say, live bold, is fight. This world matters. God didn't just abandon the world. In Jesus' resurrection, he came back not as a spirit, like this world's going to die and I'm a spirit up in heaven floating around. No, he came back physically and tangibly. And he said, this physical, material world, it actually matters. God enters into his world. That Jesus is real and physical means this is good news for the whole world. If he just came back as a kind of a ghostly figure and I think, oh, well, that's, I see what he did there. That's important. That's helpful for my own spiritual journey. But no, he entered back into the world, spent 40 days teaching and eating and showing people what it is to live this resurrected life. He said, this world matters. Fight for things that matter. Fight for justice in this world. Somebody's got to fight for refugees in Australia. It matters. Personally, I think we're not a very just nation. We fight for justice, fight for things that matter. The resurrection is good news for the whole world. I want to leave you with a little challenge, and I'm not quite sure what our part would be in this, but I want to encourage us to be fighting for the village we live in. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of businesses shutting down in Avalon and leaving. The village is kind of getting smaller. And I don't know, confidence and We're not flourishing. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, as Christians, we are to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. As we live as aliens and strangers in the world, we want to seek shalom. We're talking about this biblical idea of flourishing, of blessing, of community, of a rightness with God and with other people. If Jesus was just a spirit, just a ghost floating, we would just let Avalon die. It's meaningless to us. This world doesn't matter. But it's the opposite. He came back physically into the world. He said, this matter, this village that you live in matters. Do what you can to seek the peace and prosperity, to bless it, to see it flourish as you're able to. I just want to show you a short little video. I've been doing some investigation into Enliven Pittwater. There's a project. They haven't developed their app yet. It's just a bit of a promo. They're getting people together, business, council, creative backgrounds. It's called Enliven Pittwater. I think this is something that we should be involved in some way, because we're people who know about life, that is real life. We're people who know about new life. We know about eternal life. We're people who know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that the community that we live in matters. This world matters. Obviously, we want all people who live in Avalon to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, to be followers of him, so they do have eternal life. But if we were to be involved in this, I think it would come at a bit of a cost. But we've got nothing to lose. You know, your time or your creativity or your support or money or whatever it is. We've got nothing to lose, because in the resurrection of Jesus, we have all these blessings for eternity. We see that this world, this community, this village that we live in matters. And we can be part of it. I just look around at people. I know people who can play musical instruments. I know people with business backgrounds. We have this thing. I don't know if this is a Northern Beaches thing. In our 10 a.m. service and our 6 p.m. service, we have married couples, two different married couples. One's like a businessman married to an artist. I don't know if that happens in many places. That's in our 6 p.m. congregation as well, in our 10 a.m. You have people who have gifts and skills. And I think if we're motivated because we know that, we've got nothing to lose. We'll never miss out on anything. Jesus Christ came back into the world and he said, this world matters. We want to care for Avalon and see it flourish and blessed, to see it enlivened, because we're people who know about the resurrected life. Okay. Why don't I pray for us, and then we'll open up for questions and comments. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and forgive us from our sins. Father, we pray that well, for those of us who just need to pause and say, yes, I need to be a follower of Jesus. Not live for myself, but live for him. Father, help us to do so. Father, we do thank you that our faith is not a hope that's a leap in the dark, but it's based on the truth of your resurrection, which was physical, material, and bodily. And Father, that you have broken sin and death, and that you've granted us eternal life, that all who follow you will be part of this incredible, magnificent eternity where we live in paradise, eating and drinking and speaking with you and serving you and loving you. And Father, fill our hearts and minds with that so fully and so clearly that it motivates us to live as your people here in Avalon where we live. And Father, may we be people who seek to give life and to share life and to show life that is truly life. Everyone around us, from the street that we live in to the community that we're part of. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.